morning. I wore a suit today because I came to do business with Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else need a little Jesus this morning? I'm really excited about this series that you guys are starting about stories because everybody has a story. And there's so many of us whose stories get lost. And this morning, we're going to look at a character in the Bible that maybe you haven't heard of. Her name is Anna. And her story gets lost because it's only 3 sentences in the whole Bible. Not only that, her story comes right after Jesus is born. So if you haven't heard of her, let me introduce you to my friend Anna. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and praying night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. You're probably wondering, what's going on? Jesus has just been born in the manger. The angels are singing over him. The shepherds have come to him. And as was Jewish custom, Mary and Joseph, had to bring Jesus, the baby Jesus, to the temple to be blessed. And it's when they come to the temple that they run into Simon, who's likely a priest in the temple, but they also run into Anna. And Anna has the privilege of seeing the baby Jesus amongst the first people who ever get to see him. Let me give you some background on Anna's story. She's of the tribe of Asher, which means her community is coastal. And it's also a community that produces a lot of olive oil. And so likely her community is very affluent. And even if she wasn't among the very affluent, her family was probably okay. She gets married about the age, in that time would have been between 14 and 16 years old, likely. She lives 7 years with her husband. And then her husband dies. But there's so much more in there that we need to know when we study the culture. Anna lived with her husband 7 years, and then he died. And then she goes and lives in the temple. This is weird because in that culture, you have a couple options if your husband dies. First of all, women don't get to keep things. Everything is passed through the male. And so if Anna would have had a male child, Anna's things or Anna's livelihood would have been wrapped up in that child, and she would have been able to stay on her land and manage that land for her son until he was of age to manage it himself. So it is likely that Anna never had children. Or she had children and they passed away. Anna also has another option, or rather a woman of that time who lost a husband. There's this thing, if we read through the Old Testament, we learn of this custom called the kinsman redeemer. And what that means is, if my husband dies but he has a brother, then we could get together and have a baby. And if that baby is a son, then that son gets to inherit his father's land, my husband's land. But she doesn't take that option either. Why? Were there no other brothers? Did the brothers not like her? Did the family not like her? Why wasn't this an option for her life? There's a third option that we learn about in the story of Ruth, where she could have gone back home to her family and they could have taken care of her. But she doesn't take that option either. Why? Why? Did they not want her? Did they not have the finances to care for her? Maybe it was a family of all daughters and they couldn't take care of any more kids, and so she had to go. Maybe they were of the society because they didn't have the income to support her when she came back. Gosh, that sounds lonely. Why didn't she have those options? She goes and lives in the temple where she is dependent on the gifts that other people bring, the food that other people tithe, the generosity of the priests that live there. And I gotta tell you, if I'm sitting in her shoes and I'm, 14, 15, 16, and I'm dreaming of the life that I wanna have, that's probably not it. She probably dreamed of having kids running around, sons to grow up and take care of her when she was old, daughters to braid their hair and put flower crowns on them and see them get married and dance at their weddings and drink wine and just live this beautiful life and retire with her husband and live a great life. And that is not what happens to Anna. It seems as though everything she was dreaming of was gone. And I could imagine that Anna did not like her story. And I know there are people in this room and there are people watching online, and you don't like your story right now. And I gotta tell you, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I don't like my story right now, because it's challenging and it's difficult and it feels like everything is slipping away. When everything is slipping away, God comes to us and he says, I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. I'm here. I'm waiting for you. Trust me. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I say, I don't want to trust you. I would rather understand. Just explain this to me. Why did my spouse pass away and I have to live retirement by myself? Why did I lose everything in the fire? Why won't my kids talk to me? Why did I lose my kid? Why are my finances slipping away and I can't provide for my family? There are times in our life where we don't like our story, and our culture says that we need to pursue happiness. And if you're not happy, something's wrong with you. And even more so, something's wrong with your life. And if something's wrong with your life, somebody is responsible for that. And that person is God, and I hate him because he's not providing for me the way I want. He's not giving me what we want. We sang this song, All My Promises Are Yes and Amen. I gotta tell you, I was sitting in church about 6 weeks ago, And the worship band started singing that song, and I could not sing those words. I couldn't sing them. And I just thought, your promises aren't yes and amen. Because if your promises were yes and amen, my heart wouldn't hurt this much. My family wouldn't be struggling this much. And that's not it. And then it dawned on me that, are they my promises or are they God's promises? We have promised ourselves things that we think God should give us. we have written our little list down and we've taped it onto God's refrigerator and said, let's get to those. And we think that if he doesn't fulfill those things, he is not good to us. And I got to tell you, that's not the case. In this passage, it says that Anna had lived for 7 years with her husband, and then he passed. And then she lived 84 years in the temple. When we're reading scripture, especially the Old Testament, anything that's written in the original Hebrew, it's important to remember that numbers have a significant meaning. And so when we're reading this, we need to be thinking of what that meaning is. Let me give you an example. If I tell you I'm going to give 100%, that means I'm going to give it all, right? I'm going to do the very best I can. If somebody says she's a 10, right? I mean, she's good looking, right? Thanks. In Hebrew, in the Jewish culture, 3 is the number of God. It is divine. It is his power. The number 4 often symbolizes his people and difficulty. 3 and 4 together make 7. 7 is God coming together with his people. Anna lived with her husband 7 years. We could likely draw the conclusion that God is saying, I'm not punishing you. These bad things are happening in your life not because I want them to, not because I'm punishing you. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes God disciplines us like we discipline children. And sometimes God refines us. But sometimes things are happening that are not fair because we don't live in the garden. We were created to live in his presence always. And that got messed up. And so we have to reel with the sin. We have to deal with sin, which means crappy stuff happens. And it happens a lot. And it happens every day. And it happens to every single person. And I just think God wrote that in there. That's in the Bible, that tiny sentence to just say, I know. I'm not punishing you. Just stay with me. Stay with me, and I will make it all worth it. I promise. Yeah. But it's so hard. It's so hard to trust him. You see, we rather understand means we want to accept. We want to accept the plan. God, just tell me what it is so then I can get on board. Just tell me, give me a little glimpse into the future. Give me a little plan. Give me, just lay it out. How's this going to end? Just help me understand. And then I will be with you. And then it will be easier. And then. And God asks us to do one of the most difficult things we will ever do in our lives. And he says, trust me. Trust that I have good things in store for you. Trust me that I love you even when it feels like I don't. Trust me. Life's gonna look okay, even when it's dark. Even when there's nobody standing beside you, even when you're trapped in a job you don't like, even when people are saying bad things about you, even when you don't have the finances to make ends meet, even when your appliances are falling apart, even when your car is falling apart, even when your hair is falling out, even when you have cancer, even when your kids are going astray, just trust me because I love you. Yes. It's interesting in Anna's story that in her what I presume was dark days, she went and sought the Lord. And I gotta tell you, that's hard. That's hard. Because there's so many other things we could run to. There's so many other things that make us feel better in the moment. And she runs to the temple. She runs to study God's word. She starts teaching God's word. This word prophetess right here in this section, it means she taught the Old Testament to people that came into the temple. That's pretty radical for that day. That's pretty amazing. And not a lot of people know her story, but a lot of people were impacted by it. I bet it hurt when moms came in to have their babies blessed. I bet it hurt when grandmas came in to pray for their grandkids. And she was still faithful. She still prayed. She still, how could you pray for somebody if you weren't full of joy? She had to have the joy of the Lord. And it is possible to have that if you are struggling, if you're hurting, if your heart is breaking. And I gotta tell you, if you're not in that season, you know somebody who is, and they need you. They need your prayers. They need your blessings. They need you to bring them home-cooked meals. They need you to write them cards. They need you to pray for them. They need you to send them text messages. They need you to just drop a coffee off. Drop some flowers off. Take a guy out to dinner. Buy him a gas card. There are people around us that need us. And I would say, this just came to me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit whispers stuff to you while you're talking. You're like, mm-hmm, yep, got it. In a season where people are leaving the church, it is necessary for us to stand beside those who serve the church diligently. And October is the month of pastoral care. It is the month where we celebrate our pastors. And a lot of churches have lost this tradition. And your pastors need you to care for them. They need you to come over and fix things at their house, maybe. They need you to bring them meals. They need you to write letters of encouragement. They need you. Because carrying the mantle of the weight of Scripture is so hard. Because we're all people. And it's so difficult to say, mm-hmm, yep, in this hard time, totally good. Like, we're just going to have a great time, Jesus. And I know this is really hard, but all your promises are yes and amen. And like, praise, praise, praise. Let's get the t-shirt. Seal the deal. No, we struggle, and we often struggle in private. But we need to come together. We need to lift the arms of those around us. At the end of Anna's life, it says she lived in the temple as a widow 84 years. Here's another number. 8 is the number of completion, and 4 is the number of difficulty. It's almost as if God is saying, Your difficulty is complete, Anna. You have done well. Well done, my good and faithful servant. '84 is also 12 times 7. Thank you, somebody. 12 representing the 12 tribes, God's people. 7 representing God coming together with his people. Anna's story is more than just her story. It's more than just for her. It's for God's greater story. And your story isn't just your story. It is a part of God's story. Yes. Do not discount that. It is a part of God's story and is an intricate part of God's story. And he needs you, and you need to not abandon him. Because I got to tell you, when you're going through hard stuff, and maybe I'm alone in this, but I just want to turn away. Because it seems like it would be a whole lot easier than being faithful. Being trusting when I don't know the end. Being trusting when maybe this is how it's going to be. Maybe this is how it's going to go. Maybe I am going to be alone. Maybe I am not going to be able to have children. Maybe I am going to be sick. Maybe retirement isn't going to look the way that I want it to look. And he says, I promise you, your suffering will come to an end. And when it does, it's not the end. It is merely the beginning, because Anna gets to see God's face at the end of her life. And we who call him believe, who are believers, who say we love him, we get to see his face. And that's not the end, it's only the beginning. We can't keep this short idea of what life looks like, because there is more to the story. You get to be with those people at the end. You get to hold those babies at the end. That person gets a new life at the end, because it's not the end, it's the beginning. And for eternity, you will be made new. God is coming for restoration, and we will have all things new. And that is the promise. That is the promise that we hold on to. Ephesians 6:13 says we are strengthened with the power through the Holy Spirit. Let me give you some other promises of God. Because remember, when we're singing yes and amen, we are singing yes and amen to his promises, not our promises, his promises. And his promises, Matthew 11:29, you will find rest for your souls. Philippians 4:19, he will supply all your needs. Romans 8:28, he will cause everything to work for the good of those who are love him and are called according to his purpose. Joshua 1:5, I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. Romans 8:39, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And Lamentations 3, 22-24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I want to ask the band to come out. And I want you to think about this. We're going to sing together because sometimes that is the best way to express the soul. And we're going to sing about his faithfulness, because he is faithful to never abandon us. He is faithful to love us when we don't love him back. He is faithful to provide all of our needs. not all of our wants, not what we've promised, what he's promised. And I just pray that you will find the strength to trust him. Even if it's just a tiny, tiny mustard seed, he will sustain you. He will never leave you. He is faithful to the end. And I want to stand together. And I want you to sing like there's nobody else in the room. And if you're not struggling, we need you to sing louder. Because for those of us that have pain in our hearts, sometimes the words are too heavy. And we need you to carry us in this moment.